Good morning, good morning. We are dancing in with Soul Mikasa, Manu Dibango. This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, right here in the place to be, CJSF Radio 90.1, with your Friday Speak Up Show. And we got a treat in store for you. This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, here at the place to be, CJSF Radio 90.1 in Burnaby on the Mountain, and streaming worldwide at CJSF.ca. Today we're going to give you something interesting. You're going to be able to listen to a review and celebration of the November 30th special program that Eco Wisdom had. We have participants that have been parts of the teaching. We have people that are parts of the guide. But in case you have heard about forest bathing and you're wondering what's that about, you will hear how it has become real to the group that are talking this morning. Before I introduce them, I want to say good morning also to my wonderful, brilliant co-host, the co-director, co-founder of Eco Wisdom. And I am going to now have our land acknowledgement by CJSF Public Affairs Director Jesse Winslow.
Today's program is being produced virtually and remotely from a lot of different places, but the studio where we're recording is located on the unceded and ancestral territory of the Hulkamilam and Squamish-speaking peoples, who have lived and worked and played on these lands since time immemorial. And unceded means that these lands were never formally or legally surrendered or bought or sold or traded, and that we here in what is called British Columbia are living on stolen lands.
And as I promised, introducing Carrie Crow, the brilliant person who, with a partner, looked at all of the research, evidence-based research on how nature improves, extends life. And so, Carrie, would you just introduce the people that are going to be participating? I have a question. Each of the people who come in and are going to be speaking, that when you speak, you give your first name, last name, if optional. And I would like to know why you are so excited about nature. Why are you so excited about accessible nature? What makes the difference between accessible nature and just any of the programs people are having and saying it's about nature and healing?
Thanks, Charlotte. It's nice to be here. Maybe I'll just jump in and just tell you why I'm excited, and then I'll backtrack and tell you a little bit about Eco Wisdom and how it came to form, because the two are tied together.
Sounds great.
So I live with a complex chronic illness disability, and I have worked as a professor of disability studies and a health researcher, and I became really fascinated in my very long journey to becoming whole with my own personal experience of connecting with nature and the dramatic results that I experienced physically, but also emotionally, creatively, spiritually. And that inspired and moving to this Eco Wisdom Forest Preserve, which is over 200 acres of land with wild roaming moose and bear and wolves, moving here off grid and experiencing these things in my own body and heart inspired us, a small group of us, to start Eco Wisdom and offering accessible nature well-being programs and also an accessible nature guide training program that's it's accessible and inclusive. And that means that we are able to support people with various kinds of disabilities in our program and welcome and celebrate disability as part of the human experience and a part of what nature teaches us around our place in the diversity of life. So that's a little bit about me, what's inspired my passion, and a little bit about Eco Wisdom as well. And so we did have a program recently, and I guess that's what we're going to be talking about today.
Yes. And I want to ask each person that wants to comment about the program, aside from your name, Why are you particularly interested in accessible, and how are you, do you see this program going beyond the blue chair? You know, how in Peanuts they said everything can't be 25 cents, Lucy. Everything can't be this picture of a chair. And so I'd like for Kim, would you like to start with just what makes you so excited, and how does this connect with your purpose in life?
Well, I think for myself, what really excites me about EcoWisdom's approach to forest bathing or using nature for us to get in touch with so many things is the accessibility part, in large part because it doesn't leave people out. It brings into community people who often are just kind of not thought of or left to the side. And it's so important for us in to be in community with each other and to be in a community with something that we can hold on to and bring into us that helps us heal. And is inspiring, and it touches on all of that, what we do. So it's pretty big in my frame of mind. It's huge, and it's also incredibly personal. And I think that's the other thing about the community that we bring together is the stories, because it's a community of individuals and there's no judgment, there's no fixing people. People can be themselves and bring to the community such incredible stories and incredible ways of being and looking at things that just enrich us all so much. So that's part of my excitement about what's happening, what we do in our programming.
In a word or two, how would you say that connects with what you view as your purpose in life?
That's pretty big too, but I have a background as a registered massage therapist, and I owned a clinic for many years. So I've always been really interested and fascinated by what helps people heal, what helps people feel, what gives comfort to people, what helps people feel better. And this path addresses a lot of those issues, a lot of those things all coming together. So I don't know if that makes sense, but that's it brings a part of my past in with what I see as it brings a lot of things together for me personally. And also personally, I use this every single day for my own health and my own well-being. And prior to having this in my life, yes, I would be in nature, or yes, I would have plants and things around me, but the approach is so different now, and it's really affected me personally, and I think it affects me and how I make my way in my day-to-day life now in a much, much more complete way.
Thank you for expressing that. Sandy, would you mind sharing with us how different or what you were expecting when you heard about an accessible wellness program?
I'm a person who lives with a disability and chronic pain. And as an artist, nature has fed my practice for years and feeds my soul in a way. If I'm ever going to feel spiritual, it's when I'm connected to nature. And eco wisdom has taught me how to, through accessibility, connect in that way.
Were there any particular things at the November 30th Accessible Wellness Program that stood out for you? Or?
I love the visual and the auditory, and the moose video really stood out for me because it allowed me to see an event in nature that I typically would never have had the opportunity to see. So that was thrilling. And any of the nature videos that show color and taps into the visual and the auditory. So the sounds in nature and the colors just are beautiful.
And seeing those, did it give you any feeling that, oh, maybe with my camera I could capture some of nature that could be in a video?
Probably more so with my paintbrush. Mm-hmm. But I find the videos calming and, they're just beautiful.
And thank you for sharing that. Do you believe people have a purpose in life?
I do. I think so, yes.
Do you feel comfortable sharing what do you feel is your purpose?
Well, I don't know that I would have said this many years ago, but I think because I manage my disability so well, I can be a role model in a sense for people. And even as a senior, becoming more engaged in community. And so it allows me to be somewhat of a role model in that respect.
I think that's really important because that's the missing face sometimes in messages about improving your health or going out into nature. The face of the senior is missing. So I'm happy that, you know, with the artistic craft you have and also the nature principles that were shared at that and other accessible wellness programs. So thank you for sharing. Kari, did you want to introduce the next person to talk about what they particularly liked about accessible nature wellness training and the fact that one of the things I find that's different, I hear a lot of people saying they're into nature, but not many providing the data, the research, the validation of some of the practices that are included in what the nature wisdom guides get.
Yeah, it's interesting. In terms of our nature and forest therapy guide training program, as I mentioned before, it's also accessible. And it was inspired by my own personal experience undergoing my training and having some difficulty around having my disability understood and accommodated and, quite frankly, celebrated. I felt like I was being seen as a burden. And, part of that was maybe on me, but part of it was that I requested certain things and it wasn't a priority. And so we wanted to do it differently. And we wanted to go, we really do. I say that we're accessible and inclusive. So whatever identities people are bringing to the table, bringing into our community as guides and as participants in our nature well-being programs, we encourage people to celebrate and move into and expand into that identity in a space where we will not judge, that where we will celebrate all of those identities, whether that's related to gender diversity or race and ethnicity, for example. So inclusion and accessibility is a big part of, and it's like integrated. We use a framework called disability justice, which is looking at sort of intersections of oppression and ways that we can move through that and mark our place as people, many of us seniors living with chronic illness or disability, making a space for us in connecting with nature, whether that is a park program or whether that is a conservation program or whether that's an art in nature program, a poetry writing program, if you're leading it, Charlotte, you know, like lots of different, we belong everywhere. And sometimes we have to articulate that. And then, as I mentioned earlier, my background is in research, and we have connected with an international group of forest therapy researchers, and we are in the process of publishing our third peer-reviewed academic paper looking at the benefits of the programming on our participants. But I would like to actually invite Karma to speak next, because Karma, she has been a participant, but she's also been through our training program as a guide. So she might have some, I'm sure she will have some insightful comments. And she has contributed beautifully her creative writing and her soul in these. Maybe I'll just let her describe how she, you know, what she share what she wants to share, but that's what I will say about Karma. Karma, would you like to, what would you like to say?
Well, there's so much to say about eco-wisdom. You said a lot of what I was thinking, because when I think of eco-wisdom, some of the qualities that immediately appear is well, the awareness, an ever-expanding awareness with every meeting and every session we do with forest bathing. Awareness of how we are nature and how we have this little body that we run around in and look after. But actually, we're integrating with nature and each other all the time. And one fantastic thing about this movement, and it's to do with the training, or the training has to do with the movement of bringing the science, because, you know, we have these feelings all the time and we have tendencies that we operate from. For instance, I lived up north and now I live in the Kootenays. Most of my adult life has been in forests. And so you naturally blend with it. But the training gives tools. The training teaches you to be mindful. We have so much good support with meditations and visuals. As Sandy was saying, all those tools really give you something to land on, give you something to work toward or be inspired by. But here's the thing about the program being an accessible nature program. And it is the inclusivity. The inclusivity is very key, I find. The thing that kind of magnetized for me, because now I also have different abilities that aren't accommodated very well. For instance, right now I need new equipment, and unless I have $50,000, I can't get it. It's even though it's medically prescribed. So even at that level, there's a lot of don't hear you, don't see you, go away and don't bother us. So when you find a program like this that is so inclusive and so supportive, and you bring what you bring, and it's all becomes part of the program. We're taught contemplative listening, for instance. Now, how often do we get a chance to practice that? We try and do it on our own, but when we do a mindful thing about it, we respect each other with these, I don't know what you call it, qualities. So all around us is nature. We are part of nature. This program supports that, supports the integration. And then when we feel that, it's almost like a safety, it's a community, and it's a reciprocity. And we learn deep into reciprocity with dealing in nature, not just with each other, but how to be around the plants, the animals, the sea and the sky, and not just barge in and consume it or exploited or discarded, you know? So yes. We're really deepening ourselves. And with this reciprocity, we're learning skills so that we can actually reach out and share with each other and the larger community. Like, it goes out like ripples, whatever we do. So having this as a heart place to go from and to check in with each other on these meetings is really a blessing and something to be celebrated. I'm very grateful, Kari, and everyone. I'm so grateful to all your contributions all the time. You're amazing. Thank you. Because I won't stop talking.
So obviously, not only at the November 30th, but other of the accessible nature workshops, you felt welcomed and accommodated?
Yes, definitely, always.
And do you see this as a part of your purpose in life? Or related to your life purpose?
Yes, I think so. Because I have this feeling that my purpose in life is to be the best I can be and to support others around me to be the best they can be. You know, we like to support each other to reach our potential. And sometimes when there's a lot of obstacles, it's really good to have that support. And I feel this program absolutely does that.
And have you, as you mentioned, a lot of times the way people interact with seniors is at disrespectful or not really taking time to appreciate that while the person might have a disability or move slower or be more forgetful, that there's a rich layer of love and rich layer of interpersonal strengths that can be shared if someone just touches the key that was in your heart to record or the key to paint. Do you feel that you have, even during the program, do you feel shifts in your body, shifts in things, a way that you were feeling from before you started to get involved with one of the accessible workshop meetings?
Well, yes, because I'm doing forest bathing, and that has led, mine is growing in the amount of time I spend doing it. So forest bathing for me is very meditative, and when I'm still and just focused like that, this awful chronic pain subsides somewhat. And when that happens, then I have more energy and focus for other things. And so just from the forest bathing point of view, it has changed my body and the way I feel during the day and the night, physically and mentally. And with the group emotionally, because everybody is uplifting and inspirational, and you feel like you belong. You don't feel like such an outcast, or you can't do anything, or your word isn't worth anything, and things like that. There's a lot of abusive things happening out in the communities, and this is a very good antidote because it empowers you to stand as part of nature legitimately and in every way. And so I think it strengthens the spirit as well, Charlotte.
Well, thank you for sharing that. And the chronic pain, you know, I had an experience where I fell getting on a bus, and the extreme pain, you can go into a regular doctor's office and they write you prescriptions for medications that have high amounts of toxic substances or narcotic addictive substances, and the fact that there's something, an alternative that exists, and then people like you who are willing to share, well, I am being able to, and Kari being able to share that chronic pain without massive amounts of addictive medicine. Chronic pain can be managed with some of the different practices that we are taught, and not only taught, but encouraged to share. So just thank you for speaking on that. And I would like to ask Alicia. Alicia, as a facilitator, part of the education group, often you handle the chats when we are having an accessible wellness nature program. And what do you find from the chats of ways that people are responding to what they're hearing or how they're hearing things?
I find it so powerful, Charlotte, that people will talk often about beauty, about feeling connected. Sometimes people will connect to a memory that they had being out in nature. Sometimes it's just feeling connected to the houseplant or the rock that might be with them in the moment. But I'm always struck by the imagery of what people share. And, you know, if you feel like there's times I feel like I'm right there with them, even though we're physically, geographically so far apart. And I'm struck by, even through the technology, how at times how deep it can go in the sharing time when people are given the space to pause and reflect and slow down and talk about their connection to nature or their response to the video or as the last workshop, the beach meditation, you know, seeing the video of the moose, you know, and people just get to pause. So that's that I find really, really, really beautiful.
What of your own personal relationship? What are you excited about in being part of Echo Wisdom, and more than just the name Echo Wisdom, but the kinds of experiences that are given through video or given through soundscape?
When I started getting involved a few years ago, I hadn't done forest bathing very much prior to that. I was really amazed at how much I could connect, and people were connecting from watching a video or hearing a mindful meditation. And there were times when, you know, Carrie would say, for example, touch the moss on a tree or some leaves in the grass, and you'd feel like you're there.
Right.
You know, and I think Carrie would and others would talk about that our brains can. So it's amazing how our brains can sort of fill in those gaps, even when we're not physically present, but it engages part of our brain and our imagination that helps us feel connected just through the use of video or hearing the sound of the water or hearing the sound of birds. That really struck me. And I live in a city, downtown core, lots of concrete and tall buildings. And it's been so helpful to become more attuned to nature. So I notice when I go for a walk to the waterfront, there's like an area of like a little garden just by the side of the road. I notice each time I stop and notice it and take it in. More deeply than I used to. I think before you just walk by, but now I really notice those things. And I think that's from attending these workshops and just the slowing down to, I think a phrase Carrie uses a lot, slowing down to the pace of nature.
Yes.
So I find that's been really, really helpful.
How do you see this, how would you express this as a part of your purpose in life?
I feel at this stage in my life that my purpose is more about being than doing. There's always, you know, I've gone through, you know, years being a mom and I worked as a therapist in a very busy agency. And there was so much emphasis on doing, being productive, running around. And now I feel like the focus is on just being and being open to what the day brings. I'm retired now, but I'm busy in a different way, but I don't feel that crazy busyness. It's just more of a flow to the day. And I think the emphasis on mindful listening, mindful sharing, has really, really helped me to slow down and just connect, you know, to the present moment, connect to whatever is coming up in my day, and certainly connecting more with being in the natural world. So I feel my purpose is being, just being present.
I love that being.
Yeah. Yeah.
For a human being, just being is wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes we don't need more than that. And I think of the, I love that it's, we don't have to be perfect. Yay. You know, and there's room for that, you know, being more real and authentic. So those have been really lovely, lovely gifts.
Oh, thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
Dr. Carey, do you have another person to introduce that has been?
Yeah. And like before I do that, I just wanted to touch on a couple of things that were raised with the pain reduction. Our collaborator, Dr. Kirsten McEwen from Derby University in the UK, in one of her most recent studies, she found that when people, our participants who live with disability or chronic illness or severe fatigue, joined one of our programs, they attend one program. One of our programs is 2.5 hours long online. They experienced nearly 25% reduction in the pain they experienced. So it's we hear people talk about it, and we also have researchers externally coming in and interviewing and surveying our participants. So it's nice to see that it's not just anecdotal, but that the data is showing that these kinds of mindfulness practices, connecting with nature, shifting focus, these things can make an impact. And when Alicia was talking about, you know, my hand on the moss or on the tree in the leaves, we do draw on what neuroscience teaches us. And so we activate mirror neurons. And this is important. And I think that a lot of people, you know, for example, for a number of years, I was reliant on a mobility aid, and I had to visualize all the time, like where I was going, how I was going to, where the ramps were. And so you become good at visualizing, right? And planning, maybe. And we can live rich. We can expand the richness of a single moment of being by imagining ourselves there. Imagining that that's my foot in the cool flowing water. If that's my hand on the rough bark, or, you know, stroking a fern. And also we do things where people tell these rich stories and we hear in the way they communicate, their rich stories of deep connection, meaningful connection. And then that activates in the listener a sort of, a mirrored experience for some people. Ah, I remember the last time I was in the moss, or I was in the forest, or the last time I was in the city and I saw a little parquet and I paused and I noticed the beauty there. Sorry, I just get so excited about the science and what we're doing here. And I am so pleased that Suzanne is here with us. She's been attending a couple of our Accessible Nature Wellbeing programs now. So I'd like to pass it over to Suzanne and see what she has to say about her experience.
Okay, well, thank you. And I've really enjoyed being a part of the programs that I've attended. And for me, what I find different now compared to my youth, I mean, I want to say that when I was younger anyway, I sort of used nature as entertainment. Yes. And, you know, swimming and kayaking and, you know, being outdoors, and it was more active.
now as I'm older, I'm appreciating just being there, noticing the trees, noticing the water, listening to the birds, and just being more sensitive and aware all the time of where I am, how I'm there, is it comfortable? You know, it's been eye-opening for me attending these classes. It's been really, really wonderful. I'm not a much of a talker as everybody else. Sorry.
Can I ask you? Do you feel a shift in your purpose, or what do you think is your purpose in life?
Well, I was sort of been brought up to, my mother always said you should serve, you need to serve, be of service, not serve, but to be of service to people of the community, be part of a community, do not add to the burden of it, but be part of it. And I've always worked from that, and that's why I joined the public service. For that reason too. And that was always very fulfilling to me. And now as I'm older, I'm still very aware of that. But now I think that it was brought up, it's more about being here now, realizing why we're here, enjoying it. And you know, we're here, we don't know how long we're here for either. So, you know, you have to enjoy every single moment.
Oh, thank you for sharing that. Yes.
Thank you.
I think around enjoying every moment or enjoying the difference in nature, someone said that their connection with nature was more recreational when they were younger. And I was like that. I wanted to go on a boat. I wanted to go on rides. I wanted to go on drives. But now, something that was said in maybe the first or second forest bathing program I listened to was about finding a sit spot. And sit spot, I was thinking, you know, my mother would say, find some place to sit yourself down. But the sit spot, I was at the time in urban LA on a very busy street. And I said, I'm not going to be able to do that exercise because it's just too noisy, as well as finding a tree and being able to exchange feelings with the tree or exchange meta. And so I put those like at the back. This is not possible. But when I listened and just tried walking a few minutes, sitting down on the bench that you sit on to wait for the bus, I started to really feel something from the tree. And I said, maybe this really could happen. And so I found a place in the middle. You know how people build a building complex and they're big box and there's this little bit of green space. And so something about the way that the presentations we've had and people sharing their stories made me feel like, just try it. Sit there and see what you feel. Well, that moved through across three sessions, learning about metta, finding and establishing metta, our love with the tree. And I sat out in the yard and I heard the ocean through the leaves. So to make a long story short, and since being introduced to the idea of sharing metta, sharing love with the tree and feeling what the tree is sending out to you, I've written almost 50 poems. Two of them I've read here within some of the programs, but it's just another thing that I noticed, the shift from, you know how we first, anybody that took typing, you learn to type on the machine. Then we got computers and we type on the keyboards. So I've written two books, but in those two books, all of the poems, you know, I was typing on the keyboard. Well, in this metta with the tree business, I sat outside and wrote in longhand. And amazingly, I am so amazed at the difference in where I feel the poem before I write it. I still have some I haven't typed up because what I was feeling was so special. So that's one of the things that I think we're celebrating, not only of the November 30th, but from the accumulation of workshops that people have come when there's been a forest bathing offered at different places in a park, at a church, we did at different places that the practice becomes real, change is something within us. And so I feel my purpose has shifted to unlocking that within people. When we contemplate, when we feel, and as you said, you feel the difference of looking at a video and you see someone kayaking, or you look and you listen to birds, that it has changed my purpose from where I worked professionally in the industry as a registered dietitian, and I had all these warnings not to tell people about things that are not evidence-based. I feel so much freer with being able to, in this program, express the depth of truth of the benefits of forest bathing or the benefits of the practices that go into forest bathing. And so I will thank you so much for what you've shared, and just happy to be celebrating and listening to this special presentation of EcoWisdom Conversations, for people to know that the organization is working toward getting trained through the radio station to have its own show, but along the way, just new anchoring in that it's real when they say that walking or doing 20 minutes a day, every day, can really change how your body feels. It can really change and shift the amount of medicine, or maybe even make you feel so lifted, things are moving and flowing in your body differently, that you don't need some of the things that are prescribed, or you're able to move, you know, beyond needing the amounts. So without leading anyone astray about saying this is going to be a problem solver for everything, I'd like Carrie to speak a bit about the green prescription. That was something that I heard about when EcoWisdom was featured on a program the Parks Department had on their intent to make the parks more accessible. So could you speak a bit about the green prescription?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, we do training for all kinds of groups, including recently with park people and training their park groups how to make their various park programs more inclusive and accessible. So the green prescription is basically, it can be more formal or it could be informal. And basically it says that research shows that about 20 minutes a day or 2 hours a week in any combination, really. Now, there has been some research that indicates that a 20-minute chunk is really helpful. However, we've anecdotally found among our guides who are very engaged in repeated mindful connection experiences that people can go very deep into that connection through micro moments. So I don't want to say that you have to do 20 minutes at a time. The more you practice, the neurons that wire together, the more we practice, the easier it becomes and the deeper we can go with our connections. So even micro moments can be very, very helpful. But research does show that approximately 2 hours a week of any kind of combination of experiences, it could be with somebody, maybe a friend, and you say, let's just go for a walk. And how about we try the next section of the trail without speaking? And then once we get to the end of the trail in about 10 minutes, we'll sit down on a bench or we'll pause and we'll share what we noticed, just simply what we noticed in being present in nature. So there are Park RX programs where medical doctors are involved in actually prescribing. There's various social prescribing programs around the world that are becoming more popular. And what EcoWisdom promotes is the use of forest bathing as a mode or method of peer support. So we can support one another as community members who live with disability or chronic illness and other people. It's not an exclusive group. We're happy to take people who are not disabled. We welcome people, all kinds of people into our community. But we do make sure that, you know, that we use an inclusive and accessible approach. But yeah, there's all kinds of programs around the world that are becoming more recognized and are growing. So you can involve a doctor, you can involve some social agencies, but you can also do it as a collective community group for your community members. You can do it for yourself. There's a variety of different, you know, levels of or ways of participating.
You can do it with grandchildren, so it can be quite intergenerational.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
I wanted to ask, you've mentioned a few times the pictures, photos, videos. Is there a way, do you have a YouTube channel, a way that people can experience any of the videos
you've made? We're going to, add some additional videos onto our website, which is ecowisdom.ca. And some of those are drone videos of our landscape here on the Ecowisdom Forest Preserve, but others are actual samples videos that we use in our program. So people can get a taste, a flavor of the kinds of videos we show. But I should say that we really guide people in how to connect to the images, how to connect and deepen and enrich that experience. So we have a whole sequence of activities that we engage people in around connecting to the body, connecting to the moment, connecting to the imaginative mind, in order for people to then move into a sequence of invitations. And this is unique to EcoWisdom's model of accessible nature well-being programming. And this is the model that has been studied in these three peer-reviewed academic studies. Yeah.
Carrie, did we have any other people that had wanted to speak or share their experience with the accessible wellness program?
We have no one else that is able to come today. Laura was thinking of coming, but she's not able to come. But I did want to mention something about the moose video. A couple of people have mentioned the moose video.
Yes.
And I just wanted to elaborate a little bit on that. Is that okay, Charlotte?
Absolutely.
So the last program, we often share stories about our nature connection. We you know, start our programs by, you know, sharing how we're connecting with nature in the moment. And I invited Hans Stefan, a recent graduate of our EcoWisdom certification in nature and forest therapy guide training, to share this video. And he's a disabled drone videographer who loved to hike wild trails and found using his drone was a way to vicariously experience some of these experiences. So he was on his property, and he's from Newfoundland, so he calls it the brook, and he was going along, the drone was going just above the water, and there were stones underneath the drone, and he was going along, and then he turned the corner, and there was a majestic moose right there standing in the brook. And what I love about this video is that as soon as he spotted the moose, he stopped the drone. He didn't go any further. He just stayed still. And he let the moose decide what to do. You know, the moose looked at the drone, looked away from the drone, did a few things, and then decided to go up on the shoreline and go along a trail. But it showed Hans Stefan's reciprocal, as I was mentioned earlier, like the reciprocal relationship with the natural world, that this beautiful, majestic moose was not a piece of something to be consumed. It was something to be appreciated and to be in relationship with. And so I love this video. I love what it represented. And people were really excited to be there on the shores of this brook in the wilds of Newfoundland. And Karma, how about you add to that? Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That's it. Here's a little example of how we inspire each other. Well, when I saw it first time, I literally got my breath knocked out of me because I have an affinity for the moose for one thing, but it was so beautifully done. Anyways, I found that I was thinking about it and I wrote a little poem. It just came out. So maybe, Charlotte, you could edit that for me at some point because I haven't done poetry, but it was just like in the experience, remembering that And I watched it again. It was like unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And our little sharings are sometimes very, very impactful for others. So thank you, Hans-Stefan. And thank you for talking about it again. We love it.
And I thank you for the sharing and the empowering it gives, because two or three years ago, if a group wanted to have a video, a person would tell you, well, you need a budget of this, or you need a cameraman, or you needed this, mm-hmm. or that. And now with just people sharing, people who've come on and shared their videos, other people could see this phone that I'm paying this monthly bill for. This phone, I could do that. You know, just the time, every time that there's a meeting, there's an opportunity for somebody to share a soundscape or someone shows a video. I had an aversion to touching trees. Kari showed her hand on the trunk of a tree, and something in that moved me to go out and start taking pictures of trees. They were talking about taking 1,000-year-old trees up in the mountains somewhere. I don't have any mountains, but just along Rupert Street, I discovered some trees with huge old roots, and then coming out of the roots, there were all kinds of little trees. This tree was supporting all these other little trees. And so I got really close to it. And here's the person now, scared and not wanting to touch a tree, sticking my camera in one of the holes to try and capture what was happening inside this tree. And I think a few people along the way on Rupert, you know, they slowed down and think, oh, is that a crazy old lady out there? Is she going to fall? But it really, really the power, you know, when we hear about how you feel, how nature speaks to us and the things that trees emit in the morning and emit in the evening, the gelsinium, I don't know whether I'm saying the name of that correctly, but I have felt it, that just little mist. And I was telling my daughter and she said, she didn't feel it, but just the conversations. When we talk about eco-wisdom conversations and the things people share, it makes us open more receptive to see, yes, nature is reaching out to touch. Yes, these trees are not only looking after the trees next to them, but hush, hush, they are around speaking to you too. So thank you so much for sharing and making, you know, I thought, celebrate a program. People wait until Christmas or birthday or whatever. But just to say, 2 weeks ago, there was an awesome presentation, and people wanted to talk about it today and connect it to the nature and way that Eco Wisdom as a program works and the way that Eco Wisdom Conversations as a podcast is flowing and building. So I want to thank each of you who participated today and switch back to Dr. Kari for any closing remarks she wants to make.
I guess I just want to say, first of all, thank you to everyone who came today. That's just been a great turnout to have everyone here. And I just love every story, every comment, every personal experience. I love listening to these stories and these ideas. And then I want to invite our listeners, if you're curious about EcoWisdom, please, you know, check out our website, ecowisdom.ca, ecowisdom.ca. We also are on Instagram under ecowisdom_forest_preserve. We offer, like I said, programming, we offer training, particular groups. We also are really focusing on training either shorter on-demand courses that are about maybe might take you a month to get through. But then we also offer our sort of our key training, which is our Nature and Forest Therapy Guide Certification Training Program. And that's a 6-month program. And so, we offer scholarships to people who are going to use their training to support social or environmental justice. So I wanted to put that out there too. We really have a very clear set of principles, and we try to have those principles sort of woven through whatever it is that we're doing. Yeah. Thanks, Charlotte.
Thank you. You know, I've had the pleasure of listening to Kim give meditations. And so would you give us a closing meditation?
Sure. And I just wanted to thank everyone as well. But also, I have to say that even in this time together, listening when Suzanne was speaking and she had birds in the background immediately made me smile and feel my heart just stop, you know, just calm and ease. It was quite lovely. Thank you for that, Suzanne.
That's my canary.
Oh, I was wondering.
I heard it too. It was nice.
Oh, I actually muted my, I didn't realize it was, he was so loud. So I muted it because I thought, oh, is this, is it disturbing anybody? It might be interrupting people, but okay.
Not at all. Not at all.
Now he's quiet.
our pets are part of the nature that surround us and they're so important. okay, well, we'll just take a moment. Yeah, you can either close your eyes or lower your gaze, whatever's most comfortable for you, and invite you to connect with the rhythm of your own breath. And just feel the supports around you. Whether there's a support under your legs or at your back. And the support of the ground beneath you. As you can feel the energy from the ground coming up to support you. And feeling the space around your body and the energy of the air around you that really is part of the sky helping you in every moment to be nourished. And just breathing the ground and the sky. And taking a few deep breaths. And when you're ready, you can either raise your gaze or open your eyes.
Thank you for that, Kim.
You're very welcome.
Thank you. That was very refreshing.
Lovely.
Well, I want to say thank you for letting Saluau host Eco Wisdom Conversations today. Saluau means my guest and I speak up so that people can listen up and act upon what you've heard. I think today you've heard some things that will be very useful around making friends, taking in more of nature, looking at a picture or painting a picture. So many practices, so many simple things that can make life more enjoyable, especially as we're going into the holidays. Okay, Dr. Carey, I'm going to let you close us out by repeating, where can people connect to this wonderful information that EcoWisdom provides?
Well, on our website, ecowisdom.ca, ecowisdom.ca, you can find information about the research studies summarized, links to full research articles. You can also find information about our Nature and Forest Therapy Certification Training Program, and also different programs and trainings we offer to community groups, all kinds of groups. Yeah, we'd love to hear from you.
And we loved hearing from you. My show is aired every Friday at 10, but when people ask me what time it is, I say it's always love time, poem time. I'm Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, and I'll see you again next
love time, poem time, love time, poem time, love time, poem time, time for words from heaven to shine, love.